Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
So the new British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is getting his first full day in office underway as he gears up for his first Prime Minister's questions in the House of Commons at midday. Yesterday, he spent the day constructing his cabinet and speaking to world leaders on the phone, including US President Joe Biden and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. In a moment, I'll be joined by Jill Rutter, who is Senior Fellow for the Institute of Government. But to look ahead to what's in store for his first day, I'm joined on the line by freelance journalist based in London, Vincent McAvinney. Vincent, thank you for joining us today. So right now, the new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, he's holding his first cabinet meeting, and we are likely to see more ministerial appointments today. But the one that's proving hugely controversial since it was announced yesterday is the reappointment of Suella Braverman.
Yeah, that's right. So he's meeting with the secretaries of state that he's appointed right now, head of PMQs, as you say. Later on today, he's got to do the ministerial ranks, so those working under the secretaries of state and departments. So there are dozens of those which he'll need to get through in time. This reappointment of Suella Braverman. Now, it was clear over the weekend that he had won her announcement at a critical time on Sunday, sort of putting to rest the idea that Boris Johnson was able to come back to take the sort of right of the Conservative Party that she represents, the ERG. And he had obviously struck some kind of deal with her. Now, people expected her to return to cabinet in some way, but not quite straight back into the job that she had to give up a week ago, when it was discovered that she had taken this sensitive cabinet data, put it into her own personal email account, and then emailed it to a colleague in breach of the ministerial code. It said that the head of the civil service is very annoyed about this reappointment, particularly because you have to remember the head of the Home Office is also the head of the police and the head of MI5 as well. Mm-hmm. So she has to deal with sensitive data all the time.
This is the Cabinet Secretary Simon Case you're referring to, who is apparently, according to the Times, livid over her swift return and very concerned about the breach. And the momentum is growing here because you have the Lib Dems calling for an official inquiry over this reappointment. And of course, Labour are going to use this as a stick to beat him with today.
Completely, because he said as he went into Downing Street yesterday that his government would be, in a sort of sideswipe to Boris Johnson, would be one that had the highest standards of integrity and professionalism. Well, he's immediately undermined himself, some would argue, by reappointing Suella Braverman into this really critical national role. And he didn't have to put her straight back in. There was already Grant Shapps, who had been appointed by Liz Truss as the Home Secretary. He has just been moved sideways into the Business Secretary role after Jacob Rees-Mogg resigned, that was going to be fired. So some are questioning, well, why not find her a different role in Cabinet? Why does she need that exact role given back to her?
Now, the other story that has been discussed this morning at length is this possible decision to defer the announcement of the medium-term plan for the economy, due to happen on the 31st in just a couple of days. Very possible, I see this morning, according to reports, that it's going to be delayed.
I think it is possible because Rishi Sunak himself, of course, is a former chancellor. He knows how the Treasury works. He knows exactly the kind of advice that will be being given to Jeremy Hunt. He's seen the forecasts, and he might want to, as he said yesterday, take a real sort of look at what's gone wrong. He's very clear that despite Liz Truss giving that wacky resignation speech where she seemed to think that everyone else was wrong, that she was still right, Rishi Sunak said that serious mistakes were made, and I think he wants to understand just how bad it went for Liz Truss, because he had a plan, of course, over the summer for public spending in the campaign that he ran. But unless government borrowing comes down, it still is up from before the time of Liz Truss getting in. It's come down slightly. He cannot stick to that plan. He, I think, is wanting to reevaluate, because he is now into a long march into a general election. Mm-hmm. So I could see that being delayed by 1 or 2 days, given he already seems to have calmed the markets. They're glad that he's just back in place. Does he need to rush through that plan?
Stay with us, Vincent, if you can, because as I said, I have Jill Rutter, Senior Fellow of the Institute for Government, on the line as well. Jill, I heard that you were watching the cricket this morning. Have you recovered from England being beaten, firstly, by Ireland?
England, frankly, are making a huge mess of this tournament. I mean, they should have beaten Afghanistan much more easily in their first match, and now, you know, always vulnerable to lose to one of the, you know, perhaps less fancied sides. So now they're sort of facing some real difficulties. Going to have to beat Australia on Friday. So
yes. Well, and
so we're looking a bit grim on the cricket front there.
It is. And we're looking forward to facing Afghanistan now. But I note how gracious the England team were in defeat after that match in Melbourne, which it's always nice to see. But coming back to politics, do you think that the reappointment of Suella Braverman is going to be a big problem for Rishi Sunak?
Yes, I think very much so, for the reasons that Vincent set out. I think it's really interesting. I mean, yeah, it's put immediate question marks over this line about, as he said, about integrity and professionalism, because, actually sort of sharing a cabinet decision with a backbench colleague in order, it appears, to sort of try and undermine support for a policy that the cabinet might be pursuing, with sensitive forecasts, that's a pretty terrible thing to do. So I don't know whether Rishi Sunak's been powerful enough to sort of tell Suella Braverman that she's on probation and maybe appropriate for Home Secretary. And if there are any sort of similar performances, then he will have to move her out again. But it does sort of suggest that she drove a pretty hard bargain when she offered him her support over the weekend, because one imagines that his team should have foreseen that this would be hugely controversial, and clearly decided when his commitment to integrity and professionalism met the realpolitik of winning the leadership and making sure Boris Johnson didn't come back, that this was one of the prices they felt they
integrity
had to pay. So we'll see how it all works out. There are other people as well who you look a bit askance at their appointment. The return of Gavin Williamson, also sacked over security breach by Theresa May, Robert Jenrick, who was involved in various dubious things over a planning decision. So I think Sunak sort of knocked himself slightly back on that commitment, which I think was otherwise very welcome.
You mentioned professionalism and integrity. That's his ticket. That's what he's going in on. And stability. And he has to bring everybody together. It's a very hard balance to strike, though, because you're bringing in these people from the various different wings of the party. But now you have the most senior civil servant reportedly livid over this decision around Suella Braverman. It doesn't bode well for stability, does it?
Well, we'll have to see. I think the absolutely critical thing is less the sort of view of Simon Case at the moment or not. And Simon Case himself isn't necessarily in the world's strongest position, given his performance over Partygate. Be very interesting to see whether Rishi Sunak brings in someone else. But I think the real challenge is getting this cabinet to sign up to a credible economic plan. And I think it's quite important for the longer-term stability of Rishi Sunak's government that he can get this cabinet behind wherever he and Jeremy Hunt want to take the economy, and in particular what they need to put in that statement to make the numbers add up and convince the markets that they do have a credible plan to get the economy back on track. There are potential, Steve Barclay will be aware of the problems of the health service. Ben Wallace was on record saying he absolutely wanted to see defence spending rise by the end of the decade to 3% of GDP. So it'd be really interesting to see whether Rishi Sunak has the authority in this cabinet to impose his and Jeremy Hunt's shared view, assuming that they can come to a shared view on what they want to do.
I see the Labour Party now has written to the Cabinet Secretary demanding an investigation. They've joined the Lib Dems on that front. So that issue is likely to cause a problem in the coming days and perhaps weeks, hours, knowing British politics at the moment. Do you think the right decision would be to delay this medium-term economic plan announcement, which is due to come on the 31st?
I think it always looks an incredibly rushed timetable once Liz Truss fell, because you really need to make sure that that you really have the cabinet behind this plan, and you need, particularly if you're going to give any detail on public spending totals, you need to make sure that the Secretary of State, newly in charge of departments, quite a lot of people went back to departments they've been in before, but other Secretaries of State newly in charge of departments, all are completely confident that they can stick to the numbers that you've decided. No point penciling in very heroic numbers and then finding you have to come back to the Treasury time and time again, because you just can't manage the services at any decent level with those numbers, or you can't get them through the really unruly Conservative backbenchers if you're talking, say, about benefit cuts or tax rises. So I think a bit more time is welcome. And as Vincent was saying, one of the great things that Rishi Sunak does bring with him is, you know, confidence of the markets. I think the market's quite reassured by the idea of a Sunak-Hunt top team on the economy, that famous moron risk premium that we incurred after the Kwarteng Trust budget seems to have evaporated back to sort of levels of interest debt higher than forecast in the spring, but back to the levels pre that disastrous mini budget. So you know, you might say we've got a bit of a sort of, you know, what, sort of Goldman Sachs geeky discount, you know, because they are a bit reassured that Rishi Sunak should get that. But the really interesting test will be, can he get, you know, whatever he and Hunt decide, you know, can he get it to stick with his cabinet without resignations? And can he get it through his parliamentary party, some of whom will feel quite bruised by the way in which the leadership election unfolded? And he's also got some more ex-ministers, those loyal Trussites who've been relegated to the backbenches, and they can always be a source of trouble.
Okay, well, Jill, thank you for joining us. Jill Rutter there from the Institute for Government, and Vincent McAvinney also. And later in the programme, we'll be talking about the outlook for Northern Ireland, the prospect of elections now in mid-December. We'll be finding out what the changes in the British government mean for that whole process. Of course, the Northern Ireland team remains the same, so perhaps the rebuilding of the relationship between Britain and Ireland will continue as it was during Liz Truss's brief reign. Now, though, we'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.